We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Good Sunday to you. Rashini Rajkumar here along with Dr. David Hilden, and we are so glad you are with us this Sunday morning. We have a very important topic, COVID fatigue. That covers a lot of ground, and we have a special guest who you'll meet shortly to get into all of these things with us. Your calls and texts always welcome, 651-989-9226. And doctor, as always, COVID questions are hot tickets on Healthy Matters.
Indeed they are. And you know, I don't know if you've heard, Rashini, but there's a pandemic going around.
I've kind of known a little bit about it.
There's something going around. There's a bug going around. And a year into this thing, I'll bet most everybody who's listening to this right now could say, I have that. I'm sick and tired of this. I'm totally have COVID fatigue. And so we're going to talk about that today. I know I do. I'm so sick of this thing, I can't even tell you. I mean, and I bet every one of you is nodding like, yep, let's move on. So how do we manage that is what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, there's things ranging from mild annoyance, like, I guess I can't go to the movies like I wanted to, all the way up to very severe mental health issues. And we're going to cover the topics in that whole range. And how are people managing? How are people coping? And when should you seek professional help? Because sometimes it's not so easy to tell. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. It's a show I've been wanting to do for some time. And so we're going to be talking to the chair of the Department of Psychiatry at Hennepin Healthcare, Dr. Eduardo Colon. Dr. Colon's been on the show in the past. And although I think it's been a year or two, I think I've let him off the hook for a little while. But regular listeners to the show will recognize Dr. Colon's voice when he comes on the show. I don't know about you, Rashini, but, you know, are you sick of this thing yet?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it truly, COVID fatigue set in a long time ago for me. But, you know, there are some important questions out there. What I hope, Dr. Hilden, is that the fear can really go away now that more people are getting vaccinated or we're learning more. And, you know, I have a question about whether the actual virus, I know we hear about different strains, but does it get weaker so that, you know, just like that pandemic of 100 years ago, and I think you said it took about 2 to 4 years to truly get out of global consciousness.
Exactly. And I think what's going to happen to this is what most medical epidemiologists think. This pandemic won't be a pandemic forever. And I think we could be approaching in the coming months, and certainly in this year at least, the winding down of the pandemic. But then what it becomes is endemic. Take the word pan, the prefix pan, and put E-N. A disease that is endemic in a society is a disease that is present continuously at lower levels. And so we have that with any number of other diseases. Influenza is endemic. It doesn't mean it's a pandemic. It doesn't mean it's spreading out of control across the world and across the society. That would be like flu. That's what it's going to be, I think, with COVID. It's going to be endemic. It's something we just deal with, probably with annual shots, annual vaccines. I don't know that for sure, but probably. It'll be something that, I came down with the COVID, you know, just like we say, my friend had the flu. It's going to be something along those lines in the coming years. So how the heck do we manage all that even. You know, if you think about that, that could make one pause and think, oh my goodness, we're in this for the rest of my life. But it doesn't have to be at the levels we have now. So it'll be something that we just have to incorporate into our lives and move on from. And so we're going to be talking about how does that affect our well-being even now? And how does the effect of loss of human connections affect us now? So I know we're going to have to go to a break really quickly. I wonder if I have a minute just to introduce Dr. Colon. Dr. Eduardo Colon, are you there on the line with us today?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing in this pandemic? Are you seeing anything in your psychiatry practice with either your staff or the people you see?
I'm seeing the effect on all of us, including myself, people around me, my staff, and especially in terms of my patients.
I think that this might be a topic that literally affects all of us, literally all of us. So we're going to take a break, I think, Rashini. We'll line up your phone calls and texts. I'm going to chat with Dr. Colon after the break about some of the some more particulars around the topic.
Yeah, we'll hit some COVID fatigue hot topics with Dr. Colon and Dr. Hilden when we return. But remember our number, 651-989-9226. You can call us on that number or text us when Healthy Matters returns. Well, if you call us today, we have answers for you. Dr. Hilden and Rashini back on Healthy Matters. We are talking COVID fatigue, taking your calls and texts. As always, I promise we'll get to you if you call us, 651-989-9226. We'll do our best if you text us. Our guest today is Dr. Eduardo Colon. He's chief of psychiatry at Hennepin Healthcare, many years of experience and training in caring for patients with complex medical issues. And Dr. Hilden, this topic of COVID is definitely complex.
Indeed it is. And let's dive in a little bit, Dr. Colon. Tell us, is COVID more exacerbating pre-existing mental health conditions, or is this something new? I mean, are you seeing stressors in people who didn't have mental health problems prior to this?
I will tell you the answer is both. I know that we have our patients or people who have not come for help, who have been struggling with mental illness and have not either sought help or have had access to help. And this stressor has really created a problem. Remember that this is very complicated. There is, first of all, the personal concern about our safety, whether we can infect people around us and our own vulnerability. At the same time, there have been all kinds of repercussions in terms of our social isolation, impact on finances, as well as all of the social issues that we're struggling with and all the political stressors. So it adds up to a huge mess. Early on in the pandemic, people disconnected from care. We tried in our clinic our best to reach people, phone calls and eventually the use of telehealth. But many people have neglected their medical care. One, because we have not been accessible, or two, because people are afraid to come in and be exposed to the virus. So the people who are already struggling with depression and anxiety, I think it is pretty common that when I see them in my clinic now, that there's an attempt to try and clarify what is common right now. I'm not going to say normal. What are we all struggling with, and is within the normal range of our response to this chronic stress? And what begins to signal that your depression, your anxiety is getting worse? And in particular, we're also seeing a lot of relapse in people with chemical health problems or people turning to alcohol or other drugs to seek relief from their symptoms.
When do you tell people that they ought to seek, first of all, let's get right to the most severe things. When should people seek emergency care or professional help from someone like you or one of your colleagues in psychiatry?
I think the most clear moment at which people should be seeking help is if they begin to feel that they can't carry on anymore. People begin to feel that they might end their life or that their relative or loved one is. That is very clear cut, and at that point, people need to reach out either to our emergency rooms in all of our departments. We have our acute psychiatric service. There's the National Suicide Line, which I'm assuming and hope we're going to change. We're going to share in a moment, as well as the crisis networks for people to seek help. People who have had psychotic disorders who begin to experience increase in symptoms such as hearing voices, feeling paranoid, and self-neglect. when people are not taking care of themselves or their medical care, that to me crosses a very clear threshold of its time. Of course, we want people to seek help before they get to that point.
Exactly. I will indeed, I will just, right at the top of the show, if you listening or are having thoughts of self-harm, thoughts of ending your own life, I will just right now say there is help for you. And here is the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. You can simply type that into Google and it will appear. But the number is 1-800-273-8255. That is a number that you can access even if you just type the word suicide into Google. It will show up as the number to call, 1-800-273-8255. So, Dr. Colon, for people who maybe aren't feeling at that end of the severity spectrum, if you will, what effect do you think social isolation, lack of doing our normal activities, how is that affecting the mental health of our communities?
I think we're all seeing various responses that can become problematic and certainly wear us down. I think the more common things that we experience and see in people around us is an overall sense of irritability. I like to say that my threshold for responding to stress with irritability is much lower. So I think I need to be very mindful and watchful of that, do things to decrease that, but also pay attention to what's happening around me. People are describing a sense of lassitude. They are lacking energy, enthusiasm, as well as an overwhelming or overboding sense of anxiety. I think it's important for people to identify, if they can, what is the part of all of this that's hardest for them. So if it's social isolation, then how do you make up for it? But I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about what we can do to try and decrease that. So people have, I think in general, become more listless. You hear people joking and complaining with concerns that they can't find their keys. They're becoming a lot more forgetful. They're having a hard time focusing and concentrating. And they're saying this is really kind of either worse or somewhat new. We're forgetting appointments. We're not as sharp as we felt we used to be. And you begin to see some people with trouble either with not sleeping as well as stressfully or having a lot of difficulty with tiredness throughout the day.
I feel that. What you just said, I feel all of that. Even when you have time, like this weekend, I was not in the hospital this weekend, and so I had a little time on my hand, and I still don't have a ton of energy, even to do things that I can start to do again now. I'm going to go work in the yard, and I'm going for walks and the like, but that listlessness, that sort of low energy seems to be common. What do you suggest we I don't know what to do about that. What do we tell our patients or our family or our friends to do about that? Are there any tips for sort of re-entry into regaining some of that zest?
I will give you some tips that I like to tell my patients, do as I say, not as I do. Because every time I go through this, I have to stop and be honest with myself and say, to what extent are you doing any of these things? Because they sound easy, but they're not. So I think one of the hardest parts for some people is the social isolation. We now know that there are many ways in which you can reach out to people. And we all tend to say, well, I don't like FaceTime. I don't like Zoom. It's not the same. And the answer is, it may not be. But this is a way of maintaining some sense of contact. There are people who have joined groups online or being able to meet a friend, especially when it's no longer wintertime, and go for a walk outside. But the other important thing for me really is that we've kind of been caught on this groundhog kind of sequence. We develop new routines that are pretty limited and they repeat over and over. So I like to say to myself and say to people, you need to break the routine. You need to forcefully try to interject things that are different to stimulate yourself and your brain. If Wednesday spaghetti night, make it something else. If you like to drive a certain way to work, drive a different way. If I normally don't do something healthy during the day. People have found some types of exercise and as well as finding new horizons. How many people have you heard that are taking a new class online or exploring new avenues? However, it's hard to get to do that until you get kind of energized. So many times it's about recognizing that you're listless and you will do something even if it doesn't feel like I want to or I will, because you might notice the difference.
Dr. Colon, that's such great advice. And, you know, I think what's also comforting to those of us lay people is to hear two doctors like the two of you also share that you sometimes get a little down or have COVID fatigue. And so the rest of us don't have to necessarily think we're going bonkers when you are also kind of feeling some of these things. We're human beings. Here's a text that is connected to what we're all talking about here. This listener says, any advice you can give friends who want to help others in a mental state but do not want to get professional help? What can we as friends do for them?
That's a very important question and complicated, of course, depending on the circumstance. I think the most important part is that you can be there for them, that you can reach out to them. Even if you don't hear from them today, reach out and call them. I think you need to be frank in terms of concerns that you might have. And I think it's very important to make sure that you ask people if they're safe. We are shy about asking our friends if something like that is going on because we think we will put thoughts in their head. And the truth of the matter is the other way around, that people may be reluctant to let us know when they feel like they can't carry on anymore. So that is when you would intervene. But in the meantime, I think knowing that many of us don't have the same energy to reach out that we used to, if all of a sudden you don't hear from them, it's important to reach out. A text, just a text, a phone call, schedule time, or figure out how you can meet once a week, twice a week, outside in a way that's safe. So by all means, sometimes when people are struggling, we knock on the door and they don't open. And you should not walk away. And we're all tempted to, because I knock on the door three times, you don't answer, I'm done. I got a lot of other things to do. Just stay in there and express your concerns in a supportive way. I'm worried about you. I am concerned. I wish I could be of help. What do you need right now? We tend to give a lot of advice, and oftentimes you need to hear people, listen to them. We're all tempted to say, well, you should do this and we should do that. And eventually when they ask you, you can ask, do you want some suggestions? But the more important thing is to be available, to not abandon them, and to stick with them, even if you feel like it's not making a huge difference. It probably is.
Yeah, absolutely. Great advice. I find myself looking through old pictures, and when I see a picture from the past that someone might get a smile out of, I'll text it to them. Just that simple text, like you say, and they usually are just so excited to have that memory come back for them. We are talking to Dr. Eduardo Colon and our very own Dr. David Hilden, host of Healthy Matters. You can talk with them too. Phone lines and text lines remain open, 651-989-9226, and we will get to those when Healthy Matters returns. We are back on Healthy Matters. Rashini Rajkumar here, along with your host, Dr. David Hilden, and our guest, Dr. Eduardo Colon. We are talking about COVID fatigue. Your calls and texts are welcome. 651-989-9226. Here's a great question, doctors. Where can one get help for children? I have a 12-year-old granddaughter and other children under 16.
That's a great question. I will tell you one that has been a source of a lot of discussion. Services for our children in general, especially children who need hospitalization, have been hard to access. I think there are a lot of mental health resources throughout town. Many of the major healthcare systems have child psychiatrists, psychologists. We certainly have a child outpatient unit in our department. So I would reach out either to your primary care physician or look through your insurance or the normal advertisements for major centers that deal with children. And, you know, most of the major clinics that deal with children have connections with mental health care.
Dr. Colon, can you comment on your thoughts on how this pandemic might be affecting not only children but their parents? I have thought that maybe the hardest job or the hardest role of this whole thing has been the parent of a young child who has to figure out his or her job, figure out his or her own health, and then try to be a teacher to their children as well as their children sitting in the next room on school. Can you comment on that whole family dynamic during this pandemic?
Yeah, talk about burning the candle at both ends. You know, early on in the pandemic, one of my comments and thoughts, I'm not a child psychiatrist. We certainly have a child service. I kept wondering, especially about children with special needs, kids who get a lot of services in school, kids who get some basic services at school who are no longer accessing those. So a parent who in many ways gets the help of professionals who provide other services through the school or through other clinics, not having access to that is quite a challenge. But for even regular situations, to have to attend both to your child, and depending on their age, how much they can understand that, that mom or dad is on the phone and they're working, and to have to interrupt that. So I think you begin to experience a lot of that worsening tiredness of needing a break, finding irritability again, which most parents begin to feel very badly about. I got irritated at my kid. How do I manage it? How do I set limits? How do I set boundaries? Am I a bad parent if I feel upset that he or she keeps walking into my room? And more importantly, again, the need for that parent to be able to have some respite in some way. Most of us like to be around our children, but you understand that when the kids go off to school, then you can deal with either work or your other routines, and that's in some ways taken away. So a great opportunity to spend time with the kids, but also quite overwhelming in terms of your own personal time. So in that setting, really turning to friends or your partner for extra assistance, for a break, for being able to have time to yourself so that you can engage in a lot of self-care. And one of the things we did not talk about in terms of self-care, apart from exercise, are things like mindfulness and meditation, other things that allow you to clear your head going for a walk. And you have to find a way to make time. Not every parent has the luxury of having that help, and that is what particularly troubles me. So how to set a routine with your kids that allows some mom or dad time, because you're going to need it. And then when it gets overwhelming, of course, to go to your provider and try and figure out how you can get any other help that you might need before it gets difficult, before you start to lose your temper or not treat yourself or your children fairly.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment to all parents who have ever been on a Zoom call. It's okay with me if your kid walks through the back.
Absolutely.
We all have to give each other a little bit of grace. If you're on a Zoom call and somebody's kid walks in and starts to disrupt the thing, just laugh about it. It's the reality of our world. I think we have some callers.
Yes. Rashini? Yeah, doctors, and we are running up against the clock, so we'll try to get through our callers and texts. Rod is on the line from Richfield. Good morning, Rod.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Say, I have a question about the MMPI, or the multiphasic inventory. Can you tell me what it is, and is it still used often in helping to treat patients?
So just a very quick comment about that, since it doesn't hit on the scope of the topic today. The MMPI, the Minnesota Multiphasic Inventory, is a test that was designed in Minnesota to try and help with treatment and diagnosis. It still gets used. It's got to be interpreted by a clinician. It gives you a sense for some of personality traits, how people cope, and some markers of whether people are having too many symptoms of anxiety, depression, body worry, et cetera. It's an adjunct. It's not a diagnostic. It's not a standalone tool. It's part of the armamentarium we have, part of the tools to help other people.
All right. Dennis is on the line, also from Richfield. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, because I am 77, I worked two part-time jobs a year ago, and then I had left both of them. And my wife had her second vaccine yesterday, and I'll get mine tomorrow. But at our age, how do you tell the difference between just normal tiredness from age and from the COVID, and also, like, forgetting stuff? How do you just forget stuff? Because you're old. What's the difference between that and maybe the effects of the COVID? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
That's a terrific, terrific question. I will tell you that I'm hearing this a lot from older who wish they were a lot more active. I remind people, one, that we are getting older, and I am too. Two, that it's been wintertime, so it's hard to get energized in the wintertime. So I encourage people like you, now or whenever the weather gets a little bit warmer, to make sure you engage in some physical activity. Walking, it doesn't have to be strenuous. schedule yourself, make it a routine. I think we're also hearing a lot of people comment about this cognitive symptoms that in general we worry about, you know, being more inattentive at times, having a little bit more slippage in terms of the memory. And sometimes it's hard to separate those two. So if it gets bad, I would again reach out for help. Forgetting things that are automatic, things that I do normally, and I don't mean routines, like dressing yourself or being able to figure out how to get the food, the clothes out, that is problematic. But being more listless and inattentive, every time I forget things, I look back and I realize that my head was not there, that I am doing something in the bathroom, but my head is in the bedroom. So then I try to really be more attentive to what I do. And, you know, I try to practice a little bit of mindfulness every day to help me to stay focused. Physical activity, I think it's also very important always to pay attention to your diet, to focus more on a healthy diet along the lines of what people call the Mediterranean type diets, vegetables, fruit, and try to minimize a lot of the snacking that we do when we're bored with perhaps less healthy. So pay attention to your diet, stay in contact with people, increase your physical activity, whether it's lifting dumbbells or going out for a walk. I know that that has a positive effect on cognitive function, both in older adults and anybody else.
Hey, Eduardo, can I just tell you as an internal medicine doctor how great it is to hear a psychiatrist tell you to eat right and lift weights? I love that. Hey, here, I have a question about art. I know you're a musician. I also know you have an eye for art. And, you know, I like the orchestra. I like Bruce Springsteen. I want to go to a concert. I want to have beauty and things in my life again. How is the loss of some of our usual connections with the art and humanities? What are your thoughts on that?
I couldn't agree with you more that this is a big problem. I frequently hear from friends how much they miss music and live events. So I have oftentimes signed up and listen to concerts online. It's not the same thing, but at least it keeps me going. I am looking for events that happen outside so I can safely attend. And for me, as you know, I do like photography, but I just stop and use my cell phone, or I go out with the intent of taking pictures to gratify that urge. I was just talking to a friend who's a musician who says, interestingly, with the pandemic, he has not been playing as much. And it's kind of interesting. So the way he's dealing with it now is to go back to earlier days and structure it. I'm going to play at least 3 times a week. I have another friend who's a musician who's gone really into his music and has done all kinds of wonderful things. So you have to find it whatever way you can. You know, the Institute of Art has allowed visitors on a scheduled basis, so there's not many people around. I think we're all craving live music. So I'm looking at specials on TV, I'm listening to concerts online, and I can't wait till I hear the texture of the music live.
All right. Well, lots of great stuff. We have many texts coming in that we will get to when we come back from break. We're talking with Dr. Eduardo Colon. Dr. David Hilden is here. Your calls and texts for them in our final segment. We've got a short segment, so give us a call, 651-989-9226, when Healthy Matters returns. We are back on Healthy Matters. Rashini Rajkumar with you, along with host Dr. David Hilden and our special guest, Dr. Eduardo Colon, both of them from Hennepin Healthcare. Get your calls and texts in these last few minutes, 651-989-9226. Let's start by going to Tom in Maple Grove. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Hey, Dr. Dave and Dr. Ed, hey, real quick, what are we telling people who cannot take the vaccine because of allergic reactions and their fear rises? Do we have, like, therapeutics like Regeneron, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and maybe zinc and doxycycline? What do you tell a person? Seems like your community that has these fears that there's no hope because nobody is writing or discussing the fact that there are groups of people who cannot take the vaccine.
Well, I'll start with my answer to say, first of all, there's very few people who can't. Their allergies are real, but very, very, very rare. And so I would encourage everybody, if you're concerned about that, to talk to your doctor, your allergist, but allergies are not a concern for most people. There are some for whom it's severe, and everything you've just mentioned is not an effective treatment for that. But I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Clone. Briefly, what do you tell people about anxieties about the vaccine?
So I encourage people, again, to talk to the doctors and look at the benefits and risk and make important decisions. I also tell people that regardless, vaccine or not, if you're anxious and you have not gotten or will not get the vaccine, that you have to abide by the same rules. Wear the mask. Keep the distance. This is what you should do with or without vaccines. And if you do that, I think your odds of getting sick are much lower. Take care of your health and talk to your doctor about your special situation to see if there are ways to minimize your risk.
All right, doctors, we have a couple of very on-point texts that I want to get to before we have to say goodbye. The first is, do police come if you call the suicide hotline?
The suicide hotline does not send the police. They talk to people and decide what's necessary. We have crisis teams in every county that will go see people. And if there's issues or concerns about severe agitation, sometimes that's a part of it, and this is a topic of a lot of discussion right now about how to do that. But every county has a crisis number. If you just dial on your phone, crisis, just C-R-I-S-I-S, that will dial the correct number, and there will be a mental health team that will respond to your call and tell you what to do and how to get you help.
All right, and Dr. Clone, this one, if you could do in about 20 seconds or less, but then maybe give people a follow-up to connect with you. What is anxiety? How should one deal with it?
Yeah, anxiety is a normal response. It tells your body that there's a danger. And anxiety helps us to function better. It makes you more alert, gives you energy. So anxiety by itself is not bad. Anxiety becomes bad when it paralyzes you, when you cannot get rid of it, when it stops you from being able to do what you need to do, or causes severe physical discomfort. There's all kinds of anxiety types or groups. And I think, again, things to deal with them include therapy, strategies at home, exercise, or medication. So please reach out for help.
Well, we have been talking to Dr. Eduardo Colon, the chairperson of the Department of Psychiatry at Hennepin Healthcare. And I want to point out that we have a full range of psychiatric services at Hennepin. We have acute psychiatric services. We have inpatient care. We have clinic care. We have psychology. You name it, we have it at Hennepin Healthcare, and it is ably led by the best psychiatrist I know, Dr. Colon. And so if you want to get any more information about that, including how to get to the clinics, even downtown, they are wide open. You can get to them. They're accessible. That number for Hennepin is 612-873-MYMD, 612-873-6963. Dr. Colon, thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure.
It's great to have you here. We'll talk to you soon. And again, people, if you need help, there is help available for you for your mental health, including right here at Hennepin Healthcare.
Yeah, wow. Well, Dr. Colon is certainly one of the best guests that I've ever heard us have on this show, Dr. Hilden. So great job in bringing him on today. We do have a few more texts I thought you'd want to get to before we have to say goodbye. We'll see if we can get through some of them. People just in general, let me combine a bunch of texts, asking about the shot. Can you give, you know, whether the boosters are coming out? What's that all about? If they get a Moderna and the booster is a different brand, what should they do?
Certainly. If you get either the Moderna or the Pfizer BioNTech shot, you need the second shot. People often ask me, can I just get the first? You do get some protection from the first, but we're still sticking to the guidelines. You need two of those. You only need one of the Johnson & Johnson, otherwise known as the Janssen vaccine. You only need one of that one. We might need booster shots in the future. Currently, the most recent scientific evidence suggests that the vaccines last at least you have antibodies for a good 6 months. That is encouraging. At least 6 months. The reason it's probably longer. We just haven't studied it longer yet. And so the fact that people who got their vaccine 6 months ago still have antibodies in their system is very, very encouraging news. These vaccines are home runs in the medical field. I'll tell you that much. We might need a booster in the future, though. That is at least possible. Variants are coming. The vaccine makers are going to have to modify the vaccines. We're going to have to give our immune system another literal shot in the arm. So we'll probably need boosters.
So I remind people that you can connect with Dr. Hilden and with me during the week on Twitter. Dr. Hilden is at Dr. David Hilden. I am at Rashini R. That's Rashini with an O. If you have questions for us, tweet us during the week. And you can also go where, Dr. Hilden, to your blog. Give people
you can go
that.
To myhealthymatters.org. That's the blog. And, of course, follow us on Twitter, both Rashini and me.
All right. And next week, our topic, allergies. Very timely. Make it a healthy week. Healthy Matters returns next Sunday at 7 a.m.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.